Well, happy Easter still. It's these 6 weeks of Easter that we continue to try to figure out how this thing works, what resurrection means, what Christ's resurrection can mean. So let me propose a way of looking at it or two. See if it fits. I want to start here. I propose that Thomas is not doubting. That doubting Thomas is a misnomer. But rather, he states the fact that unless I put my hands into the nail prints and into his side, I'm not going to believe. And that's a fact, Jack. So it's not about doubt. It's about this is, in fact, the case. And if we go back to the beginning of the reading and see Jesus, what does he do? He shows up in the room, the doors are locked, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. And at the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. That joy is the sign of belief in John's gospel. But what is this thing about his hands and his side? So here's another part of the proposal. That for adult Christian Catholics, the exploration of the mystery of what Jesus' resurrected wounds are all about is crucial in three ways. Look what the effects of my self-obsession does. The effects of my self-obsession harms others. Or as they say, hurt people, hurt people. Now, most of us want to go along and say, yeah, it's not that bad a deal. You know, I do a little bit of this, and I get angry a little bit here, and I do this other thing, and yada, yada, yada. Hurt people hurt people. And the adult approach to that is not about shame and, oh, I'm such a schmuck, I'm such a terrible person, but rather a weighing of the effect of my life on folks. But what I find anyway in hearing the thousands of confessions in the last month that we've done here at Jesu, what I find is that folks are so burdened by shame, it's impossible to look with a degree of objectivity at what the story is of my life. And so what we trade for is remorse and feeling bad about ourselves and feeling like, oh, I'm such a terrible person and I do this stuff and yada, yada. And it's still self-obsession. Just a different manifestation. Rather, the recognition in Christ of what I am capable of in my self-obsession and betrayal is joy because of what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't come, show up there with the doors closed and go, all right, Everybody line up for SWATs. Doesn't do that. Or he doesn't say, you miserable bastards, I'm going to fix you, you know. Saying, here are my hands and my side. And at the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. That's the sign of the encounter between look what my actions and my self-obsession result in. It's the death of Christ on the cross. And, oh, by the way, look what I do to myself and look what I do to other people around me. And it's in the recognition of Christ's acceptance that shifts and changes everything. It's the peace be with you is his thing. Here's my hands and my side. And at the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. Now, what's the gift and mission that he gives them? Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. I propose, submit to you, that the next line is the worst translation in the whole New American Bible for two reasons. One is it takes what happens in Matthew's gospel and applies it to this relationship. You forgive sins, you retain sins, yada, yada. But John uses a different verb here, krateo, and he uses another word instead of sins, it's whomever. So the better translation would be a couple things. Whomever you hold fast are held fast. The verb krateo tends to look like, pardon me, sir, can I just, like this, like a grasping, like pulling from safety, like pulling from drowning, like what Jesus did when he was drowning, when Peter was drowning in the water. He held him fast and pulled him free. Thank you. Another translation is to rebuild. In the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 3, there are 27 instances of this verb, krateo, and it means to rebuild. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They're putting it back together. So imagine this. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whomever you rebuild are rebuilt. That's a far, far field away from, you know, come to confession with the weight of, yeah, you might not get your sins forgiven. What's that about? Psalm 73, O God, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me with honor. Isaiah 41, I am the Lord your God. I hold your right hand. I say to you, do not fear. I will help you. It's a far cry from saying we're retaining sins here, but saying whomever you hold fast, whomever you rebuild, whomever you bring in, is brought in, is rebuilt, is held fast. The mystery of the exploration of our capacity for betrayal that comes from our self-obsession is shown in the resurrected Jesus in his hands and side. And that contemplatively exploring that and discovering that Christ is rebuilding us in that exploration, is holding us fast, is taking us by the hand, is the good news. And the mission that comes from that is to do the same thing. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those whom you hold fast and rebuild are rebuilt. And I think it's in both motions, the motion of being drawn out by Christ, and who takes us by the hand and pulls us out of whatever our schmuckitude and says, look, explore my hands inside. Discover the divine acceptance and mercy, and then share it out with others. In doing this and in doing that, it's the same thing. So I think this is part of the exploration of the meaning of Christ's resurrection in our lives. It's not like, oh, he's risen, let's get over it. But how do we continue to deepen our experiential encounter with the risen Christ in word and in sacrament? To find, like Thomas did, my Lord and my God. And then to be sent on mission with the Spirit. So let's consider as a community how we can pray for this grace, these graces, to follow up, to deepen our experience of the resurrected Lord this year. And so come to intercede in a few moments for the needs of our world and church.